What Tyler pointed out in the car, as just mentioning it to the people that weren't in the car, that the Ramah, quoted by the Nemuka Yosef, we mentioned yesterday, is there any shita that might say you are chaya for just locking the door, locking the guy in? So we said, you know, it makes sense that maybe that should be true for the Reed. But is there anyone that actually says it? So it could be that the Ramah says it, and that's a chiddush in terms of being in a parsha of Chova, and that's Gufo chiddush. Number two is, when I was talking about that whole piece, I left out a tremendous marmakom, which I told you to look at, but I forgot to mention it in Shia, so I'll just mention it now, not trying to get back into the whole piece. But remember, just to bring us back very quickly, we saw from the Chuvas HaRash that there's a machlokas between the Ri and the Rash about whether your chai for tsar that comes afterwards. And the Rush held the Das HaRi that by Sheves, that the Torah is machai, seems to say, that since the Torah is machai of Tashlumin, even though it's Grama, so Memela, you're chayiv on that which takes place afterwards. Masha in Cain by Tsar, so any pain that comes afterwards is begetter grama, and therefore punter. Again, just to say again, things that happen after the fact are grama, so therefore Tsar that happens after the fact is punter. But grama, but Shavas and Ripoy, the Torah is machayiv, because they're all after the fact. What?
Rash says
this. This is the Ri, as understood by the Rash, right? That's Lachor what he's saying. So Lachor, that's Mevor in the Gra. The Gra is explaining the Ramah. It's in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Peches Siv Zayin. It's Gra Siv Katman Ches. But first, what does the Ramah say? The Ramah says like this, Hagah, Lachor Zeb Moser Mamo, it's in the Sugi of Big Moser, of Amah, where we say it's totally in your position by Garmi, of Amah, Masar Gufo, Shel Chaveiro La Nasim, Hanimsar Nishba Vemoto. Lachain, Gar Imbelo Tvisa, why? Dehave Kimazik Biyadayim. Tzarch Lashalim Lo Kol Hazeko. In other words, even if you pater Moser Mamon Chaveiro La Nas, because you're not done dina degarmi, it's grama and your potter. But if you're moser gufo, you're chayv. Listen to the grama. Why? Dil rabbanan lo paleg arameir b'dine degarmi al b'mama. Aval b'guf, sharei chov el b'chaveiro, chiva toira litein, sheves v'ripoi, b'chein hadke b'androna, kemo shakasav b'per kachov el. Uve behem a potter, mishem de gramahu. So whose position is that? That's Mamish the Ri. Right? He's saying that the reason why, if you're Moser, Mosro la anasim, your chayev, is derived from the fact that Chovel is chayev Sheves and Ripoy, as you see from Hadke Bandrona. And that's why you're potter for behema. Why is it that for a person you are chayav if you cause them to miss work, but a behema you're potter if you cause your behema to not be able to work? Right? What's that gzeir sakasav? It's because there's a gzeir sakasav that you're chayav in Shabbos. That gzeir sakasav is not stated by behema. And the gzeir sakasav is basically telling me that even though it's grama, you're chayev. So, as long as it's in the parsha of Chovel, right, Masa Gufo, Shel Chaveir La Nasim, so then you're chayev even on grama, and that's what we learn from Hatke Bandrona. In other words, the difference between the Rush accepts the Rush, right? And maybe the Mechamer. Whereas the Gra, at least the Das HaRamah over here, is accepting the Ri's conclusions. So anyway, what you see from this Gra is exactly the point that we were saying yesterday, that you can do the sugya of Hadke Beandrona teaches me what? That the gader of Chiyuv Sheves is your potter, your chayiv b'makom grok. That's exactly what Hadke Beandrona is teaching me. So if that's true, so then again, conceivably, you could imagine being chayiv also just by walking the Rambam. So that would be the opinion of the Rambam. Or you might, in the end of the day, say that alone is pater, because just by walking into the room, you're not in the parsha of chova. Yes?
Didn't we just say with Shem and Rush that the reed would only be the chayiv grama?
Because the Rush holds like the Rush. That's the point. That was what the Torah wrote.
But he wasn't saying that the Asari, he was just
No, the Rush holds like the reed and the Rush argue about whether Sheves is chayiv even though it's grama. Right? The Rush holds that it's not. The Re holds that it is. The Rush, who takes for granted that locking the guy in the room is potter for Sheves because it's grama, is taking for granted the perspective of the Rush. That's the way he holds.
So what Rebbe just quoted from the Rush was...
There's two Rushes. They work together beautifully. There's Chuvas HaRash, and there's the Rush on our circuit.
And Chuvas HaRash.
Chuvas HaRash sets up the machlokas, Rash and Re, as being dependent upon whether you're chayav on grama for Shabbos. Okay, good. So anyway, sorry to bring us back to yesterday. I apologize. It was an accident for leaving it out. And again, to be most of that Rama. Okay, so yesterday in the end, the last thing we did was the remarkable Balamor. We got to the Mochamos. We didn't get to read the Mochamos. The Mochamos is a bit long, so I'm just going to summarize some of his key points and what comes out, because I really would like to move on to the next sugya. So the Ramban has a number of questions on the Balamor. Number one is, he thinks that the Metzias of the Baal HaMor is very strange. First of all, you know, I guess both the economic Metzias of the Baal HaMor is strange, and the physical Metzias of the Baal HaMor is strange. The economic Metzias of the Baal HaMor is strange, because the Baal HaMor is assuming a perfect marketplace. Right? The Baal HaMor is really an economist. And economists love this, you know, having no connection to the real world and assuming an efficient and a perfect marketplace. That's what the Baal HaMor said, right? In other words, the Baal HaMor's assumption is that if an Eved is ready to work now, he would be worth $10,000. If he's going to be out of work for 3 months and that causes a $1,000 loss of labor, so then he'll be worth $9,000 now. So, therefore, if you calculate his value now, minus repoy, that's basically taking into account precisely the amount of lost work. That's the Metzius. And the Ramban says it's not true. In the real world, it doesn't work that way. Because nobody is going to buy an Eved who's sick, even if he's not chayv to pay for his medical costs. There's a separate account for that. You're not going to risk it. First of all, you don't know what's going to be, if you're going to get better and he looks bad, and you don't have to want that responsibility. Ein adam rotza lios kona adam atzmo sheitzarch l'shamish oso at shisrape b'shama yamos. All that uncertainty will reduce his price much greater, right? It will, it's like buying distressed mortgages and foreclosed properties that are like beat up, right? So why did the people who flip properties make so much money? Because you have a house. This house is mamish wrecked. It's wrecked. So the speculators chap that if I put, you know, I could buy the house for $200,000 now, put in $50,000 and sell it for $400,000, make a $150,000 profit. Well, why is it selling for $200,000 if if $50,000 work, we'll bring it up to $400,000, because nobody likes to buy a piece of garbage, even if it's not going to take too much to fix it up. So that's what the Ramban is saying, that the Metzius of the Baal Mor is wrong, that even though this Eved will be in tip-top shape as a Shomer Kishulim in 3 months, it's not just that the price is going to be reduced by 3 months' worth of Shomer Kishulim, it's going to be reduced by three times that amount. So that's question number one. Okay, fine. Then he says the Metzius of the Baal Mor is wrong in terms of like what exactly you could do. Like the Baal Mor thinks it's like a very big multitasker, right? So you can cut diamonds and be a Shomer Kishulim at the same time. So that's ridiculous. For one thing, because you see from the Gemara that a Shomer Kishuim, says the Ramban, isn't just like a guy that sits in the field, like a scarecrow, as the Baal Mor is assuming. He has to walk around a little bit, which is why the Gemara assumes that if you lose your legs, you can't be a Shomer Kishuim, you have to be a Shomer Pesach. The Baal Mor will say, yeah, it's just because you can't get to the field. Somebody like wheeled him into the field, he doesn't have legs, so then he could also be a Shomer Kishuim, he doesn't have to do anything. But he's not going to be able to get to the field, so he has to be wheelchair accessible, Shomer HaPesach. But the point is that you can't, and then, like, you know, the Ramban accuses the Baal Mor of never having done Tchinas HaRechayim, right, which is the worst, hardest labor. Yay! The Baal Mor was talking about, like, little, you know, like at the Indian villages, mini Tchinas HaRechayim. But anyway, that's, okay, you've got another technical problem with the Baal Mor. Then, in terms of the fundamental problems, so he notes that surely the Baal Mor is not like Rava, who says that, right, let's say like this. The Gemara later on has the following machlokas. Again, we'll see it shortly, but just to summarize, what happens if I'm mazik someone in a way that there is no permanent damage, right? So there's no nezek seemingly, but it'll be several months until they're back to work. But the expectation is that they'll have a full recovery. So there's a machlokas between Rav and Abaye. According to Abaye, you still pay Dmei Sheves Katan and Dmei Sheves Gadol. What does that mean? We look at your devaluation now, and we look at, and that's Sheves Gadol, and we also pay Sheves Katan, like Shomer Kishuim, the regular thing. And Rava, who we presumably paskin, says no, that you only have basically, you know, what we could call Sheves Katan in this case. There's only no Sinlo Dmei Shiftosh B'chol Yom V'Yom. Right, but there's no Sheves Gadol because there's no permanent damage. If you hold like Rava, so clearly Rava is against the Baal Mor, because what's the Baal Mor saying? That Sheves Gadol calculates all loss of formal earnings, and still you pay Sheves Katan. So Rava holds that as long as there's no devaluation, then there's no Sheves. That's what Rava says. So that's against the Baal Mor, because Baal Mor is saying no. Even after you've fully compensated him for devaluation and lost earnings, there's still this chiddush of Sheves Katan, where you pay him as Shomer Kishuim. And then the Ramban tries to go a little further, and he says, and even if he'll like a bite, right? And Taka Bite does sort of sound like the Baal Mor, because he says you're chayef to pay Sheves Gadol and Sheves Katan. Sheves Katan sort of is like the Baal Mor Sheves Katan. Sheves Katan and Sheves Gadol. Sheves Gadol is what we usually call Nezek. Now, we're going to talk about this a little more later. This is very telling that we call Nezek Sheves Gadol. But we'll get back to that. Sheves Gadol is what we call Nezek. Right? And Sheves Katan is what we call Sheves. That's what Abai says later on. Okay? So now, the Baal Abai really sounds like the Baal Mor. In other words, Sheves Gadol compensates him. Now, again, in that case later on, right? All there is, he's going to be fully restored. Fully restored. He's going to be 100% back to where he was. And still, there's Shabbos Gadol and Shabbos Katan.
Based on this, it's
still... So what is that? So the answer is, it's beautiful for the Balor. Because we have to compensate two things. A, lost wages for the time he's out of work. And B, lost secondary work. But Rava says, no, all there is the lost wages over there. So Rava sounds a little bit like the Ramban over here. All there is all we're trying to, you know, all there is permanent devaluation, that's Nezek, and Sheves, which is the lost valuation, lost wages, until you get back to working again, right? It's not just Ramban. It's everybody but Ramban. But we'll call it Ramban. As the words are, right? That's all there is. Nothing else. Right? That seems to be Rava's position. So Rava over there says, oh, so if you're going to get back to 100% where you were, there's no Nezek, and all you pay for is lost wages for the next, you know, the amount of time you're out of work. Right? But Abai says over there, no. that you pay Sheves Gadol and Sheves Katan. What's Sheves Gadol? Sheves Gadol is the lost, effectively, the lost wages from the 3 months of being out of work. Because according to the Ramban, Balamor, Sheves Gadol, or Nezek, includes all lost wages being out of work, right? So that's Sheves Gadol. And then there's still, even after you pay over there Sheves Gadol, which covers all of your lost wages for the next three months, there's still something else.
Your actual job.
What is that something else? Right? That's exactly what the Balamor says. Even after I've compensated you for all your lost wages and all your devaluation, it's over there. What's devaluation? Zero. Right? Because you're going to get 100% back to where you were. You broke the guy's arm. Right? What happens when you break your arm? So for 3 months, you can't use your arm, and then you're 100% back. Right? So what does Abaye say? Abaye says over there, I'm going to compensate you for all for your lost wages. Right? What is that? That's Sheves Gadol. The Sheves Gadol takes into account the fact that you're not going to be able to do whatever you are going to do, or in this case, what you did also, what you're going to do, what you're going to do, the same thing, for the next 3 months. That's included in Sheves Gadol. So the Balamor, so that's Sheves Gadol. And still what, the Gemara Abaye says, still there's something else. It's called Sheves Katan. Right? What is that? So that's beautiful with the Balamor Shita. The Balamor Shita is even after you pay the guy Nezek, which is kolal, not just permanent devaluation, but all loss of earnings during your period of recuperation, there's still something else. What's that something else? Sheves Katan. What Sheves Katan? Sheves Katan makes you in. What was haste Sheves Katan to make you shuim? The second job you're going to take, which isn't going to be included in the Nezek. And that's Abaye. So what does the Ramban say over here? The Ramban says, if you hold like Rava, so you're for sure wrong. Because Rava over there says, all there is, in the case of the broken arm, all there is lost wages. So for sure you're wrong. And then he tries to say, even according to Abaye, here is different. How? So he says, Tafil Laman de Palakasan, Hachamoda, Shein Shaman Li Olam Ever Chola, Shem Kane, Atamachaivo, Dume Nezek Al Shivto Shuhu Pachas Damas. In other words, because of this theory, that if we were to be Shaman Ever Chola over here, we would mamish rip off the Mazet, because, you know, it's the distressed property theory. So, since if we are going to pay, have to pay Sheves Gadol over here, if we were to assess him now, we would not miss rip off the mazik. So here for sure you can't do it. Now, what the Balamor essentially does is, if you look at the reverse, right? If you notice in the Balamor throughout this sugya, this piece is starting, he kept talking about Sheves Gadol and Sheves Katan, right? And you're probably wondering if you get this, you know, what in the world are these terms? So what the Balamor is doing is the reverse, which is the Balamor is trying to say, even Rava would be moda over here. Why would the Balamor say that even Rava's moda over here, that there's going to be Shemes Katan and Shemes Gadol? Because Ein Sof Olachzor. It's only over there that Rava disagrees with Abaye because his hand's going to get all better. But over here, where his hand isn't going to get better, then you have to pay Shemes Gadol and Shemes Katan. Again, what Shemes Gadol? It's devaluation and lost wages due to devaluation, or due to recuperation, and Shemes Katan, this additional payment. So again, I think you'll better appreciate the Mohammed and Balmor once you get to that sugya. But that's basically what they're doing. Now, so how does the Ramban come out halacha l'maisa bottom line? So he basically learns the Gemara like Tosfos. Now, well, what about all the kashas that the Balamor asked on Tosfos' pshat? Right? So what did the Balamor ask on Tosfos' pshat? If you remember, what was it? That the lashon of Dechi Mitzvach, right? That was the first question. Dechi Mitzvach implies what? When he gets better. So the Ramban, a great theory, we'll just take out the whole thing.
Okay, yeah. So he's not saying that that's the
Balamor. No. I mean, in the end, he says maybe the Balamor, who knows what the Balamor was actually saying. But let's assume that his initial Havan of the Balamor is correct, because it accounts for the words. Like his, when he says at the end, maybe the Balamor didn't really mean it. I don't know how you read the Balamor. So, assuming the Balamor meant what he said, right? So then, the Ramban is learning like Tosfos, but he said that we'll just take out the words from Dechi Mitzvach, right, all the way till Agra. In other words, how do you read the Gemara? Tanu Rabbanan, Sheves Ronosoki Ilu Hu Shomer Kishuin Veim Tomer Laksa Midas Adin Midas Adin La Laksa Shekvar Nasan Lo Dmei Yad Over Dmei Raglo. Right. And that gets rid of the two questions the Balamor had. Number one, the Balamor had the question of Dechi Mitzvach on Tosfos sounds like when he gets better. And Tosfos says Dechi Mitzvach means originally. The answer is not a kasha because it didn't say it, right? And question number two, the Balamor asked was what? That he said, like, what are you making up these professions of... being the water carrier, right? So again, all that's out, right? We take out all those words, so great. None of the kashas apply because the whole text is missing. But if you remember, when we read the Gemara yesterday for Tosfos, we said a third question. Those two questions, but a third one. What was our third question? Third question was, if you learn like Tosfos, what's this is just telling you, the Gemara's question and answer is entirely before in the Mishnah, right? Because that's exactly what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, that's all the Gemara. So I said, that's fair, Tosfos. So Yoni answered. I said, that's right, but it's a brisa, right? So what did I ask Yoni? I said, Dechi Mitzvach, does that sound like a brisa to you? I said, what's the answer? It doesn't say it. The whole thing's Hebrew. Now we could say it's a brisa, right? In other words, Ramban answered not just the Balamor's question, but our question. Right, which is, yeah, Taka, it's the same thing as the Mishnah. It's a Raisa that's, you know, spells it out a little more, but it's no problem. It's not the Gemara being Mechadish the Mishnah. It's a Raisa telling you the Chiddush of the same Chiddush of the Mishnah, though in a little bit more detail. Okay.
How do you take the word how does he take the words out of the Gemara?
Well, he says that if you look at the Mishnah, he says that was Rabbi Yochananel, and that was. He didn't just make up a new girsa. He tells you that he had more than Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "The lo garsinan lay bepesh Rabbi Yochanan, v'chein b'sfar ma'mugayim habay misfarat." In the Spanish texts, it doesn't appear. For example, in the yeshivos of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochushiel, that was the father of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so in all the good. In all the good manuscripts, these lines aren't here. And Taka, it's a little weird, right? Like, again, we start off with this brisa and we switch to Aramaic, and it doesn't read straight. I mean, you can figure it out, but it's not a one. So, good. So that's the solution. in other words, right? But, you know, in a sense, what comes out is that if you, what the Ramban is essentially being moda, is that if you have argirsa, you can't say like Tosfos. It's either you're going to have to take approach of Rashi, or the Ravid, or the Balamor, you have to say something, right? Some way, the Gemara is going to be very complicated with argirsa, right? All the pshatim in argirsa are complicated pshatim, right? Rashi's pshat was complicated, the Ravid's pshat was complicated, the Balamor is certainly complicated, but Tosfos' pshat is very simple. It's just you can't say it with argirsa. But if you take it out, then it's all got. Okay, good. So, Vaitan Gemara. Rabba Rabba. Kata es yado. No sin lodme yado. Veshavis ronos o kilu shama kishur. Shiveris raglo. No sin lodme raglo. Veshavis ronos o kilu shama sa pasach. Sima zeina. No sin lodme yeno. Veshavis ronos o kilu matchino vechai. In other words, what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, even though the Mishnah says dnei kishuim, that's assuming he's going to be able to be a dnei kishuim when he recuperates. If he wouldn't be a dnei kishuim when he recuperates, because his injury was so profound that even dnei kishuim he can't be. So, for example, he lost his legs, either one leg or two legs, two hamstrings and toes, folks, he can't be a shomer kishuim. Then you'll give him the lower wage of the Shomer HaPesach, and if he can't even be, he's blind. So again, these might not be building off each other. That's also the Rishonim explain. They're building off each other, these separate points. He can't be, if he's blind, so he'll be Tchina B'Rechayim. Tosfos points out that just like it's lower, so too it will be higher. Meaning to say, Rav is telling you if it's lower than a Dmei Kishuim. The Mishnah said, what's the Sheves? Dmei Kishuim, right? Let's say Dmei Kishuim, $10 an hour. Because that's what he's going to be able to do when he gets better. So Rav says, well, let's say he's not going to make $10 an hour when he gets better. He's going to make $8 an hour when he gets better, being a Shomer HaPesach. So then, Sheves is going to be $8 an hour. And if when he gets better, it's going to be get paid $5 an hour, then Sheves will be $5 an hour. And Tosa says, likewise, in the opposite direction. Let's say, after he gets better, he's not going to be a Shomer Kishuim. He's going to be a Nokev Margolios. He's going to make $40 an hour. So then, of course, the Sheves is going to be $40 an hour. And he'll be a Malamed. He didn't realize that Malamed didn't get paid less than a Shomer Kishuim. But I guess it once upon a time it was a respectable living. So if you're a Malami, you're no kid Margolios. I remember in some of the northern European countries, so the highest paid professions are teachers. They have a very simple start. Like, what could be more important than educating your children? Right? Nothing. So you want to have the most smart people being the educators to make sure they do a really good job. So you have to pay the highest wages. So in America, who's going to become a teacher? So if you can't do anything else, you become a teacher. So that's that says, you know, generally speaking, it's a little more than, you know, bagging groceries, but these northern European, they're bats and they're right. Or you'll become a teacher, may become teachers, they could do other things, but that's for ideological reasons. But anyway, so that's what it should be. Okay, so that's what Tosfos says. That's what Tosfos says. Very good. Now, one question we're not going to do now, but an interesting question to consider is, would everybody agree to Tosfos? Maybe you agree with Daikin about when he doesn't learn like Tosfos. It's an interesting point to consider. We're not going to get into it. Another interesting point to consider, we're also not going to get into now, is the Rush is an interesting point. The Rush agrees with Tosfos, but he says, well, what about if that's going to rip him off, the marshal, because he's an Oke of Margolios, an Aved sold as an Oke of Margolios makes sells for $1 million, right? Now, you could do Nekivas Margolios with or without Lex. So if you happen to be an Oke of Margolios, your mamish is going to get ripped off because there's going to be no Nezek. Because if you were an Eved that Noki of Margolios with lead sells for $1 million, or $1 million and $1,010,000, and an Eved that is Noki of Margolios without lead sells for $1 million, because Alex Nikivas Margolios, it doesn't make any difference whether or not you have lead. So this guy, and let's imagine that. So this guy who lost his legs, the mazik cuts off the guy's legs, and he happens to be an Oke of Margolios, his mazik is going to get ripped off because he has no nezek. The normal person goes from being $100,000 to being $50,000, because normally he's going to do manual labor, and an eved that has legs could do manual labor for, you know, is worth $100,000, and otherwise it's worth $50,000.
So the whole point, though? I mean, you think tsar, same thing. I'm born stronger, I'll get less tsar than a weak pampered guy.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good question. So we'll get that. Excellent question. So now, so the rest says, this yesod is only going to be said. So that would lead the guy who happens to be Noki Margolios to get ripped up. Maybe I'll say, okay, well, it sort of would be made up in the Shevis, right? Because the Shevis in Noki Margolios is very, very high. But not necessarily, because if there's a very quick period of recuperation, the Shevis is going to be low. Or it'll be $100 a day, but it's only one day, and the nezek is going to be next to nothing. And so you have a guy who is a unskilled laborer, and you chop off his legs, you have to pay him $50,000. And he's a skilled laborer, and you cut off his legs, and you pay him $100. Doesn't make any sense. So it must be that that's only lahachmir and not lahaka. But won't be any worse. So you're asking an interesting question, which is, no, and I'll have none. Okay, you know, maybe it's not so fair, but life isn't fair. And like you said, you know, just be, when it's tsar, that's true. Somebody's big, rough, tough, strong guys, he's not going to get a lot of tsar. But that's not really your eye for anything, because that's because he didn't experience the tsar. In other words, when I go up to a big, rough, tough guy, and I punch him in the stomach as hard as I can. So he laughs. Right? But when I go to a big, little pudgy weakling, and I punch him in the stomach as hard as I can, Sitaki experiences a lot of pain. So I'm enabled. The tsar should be higher, right? We're not.
But the professional now can't work anymore. Like he's devalued the rest of his life now. What he needs to do.
So what you're saying is, Lemaisa, what's the guy going to do? So this gets into the question of, what is this? What is nezek? In other words, if you look at nezek as compensation for lost value on the slave market, or lost wages plus lost wages, so then you're right. Then the Rashi's kasha isn't a kasha. So you don't have to agree to the Rashi, and this is very telling in that. Okay, it's very important. Now, so the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "Chirshu, no sin lo dimei kulo." Oh, so what's the pshat? Explains Rashi, "Chirshu, no sin lo dimei kulo." What's the pshat? Rashi explains, "In roi l'klum." So very simple, that the chirsho is what's his value on the slave market? Zero. So now nezek is 100% of his value, and memela there's going to be no sheves, because sheves is simply the plugging up the hole, right? Paying for his lost wages in the next 3 months until he recuperates and starts making his salary is a Dimei Shomer Kishurim or Shomer HaPesach or the like. Well, if he's going to make zero afterwards, the nezek is going to be 100% of his old value, and then there's nothing left in terms of shefes. Okay. So Tosfos, Dibur Maschil Charshu, asks a question. V'teima demash mahacha decheresh lo shavi midi medinosin lo demekul over perkam de'erchin tenan cheshat v'katan nidar minerachin. So Skash, I think, isn't from Nerachin, because Erkin is not actually dependent on your actual value. It's a set amount. But Nidarin is. So according to our sugya, how much is a cheresh worth? Zero. So how could it be Nidarin? So Tosus gives two answers. Burma Benutam. Diyesh l'chalek ben cheresh bide adam l'cheresh bide shemai. Cheresh bidei Adam, that's our sugya, is worth zero. Taka wouldn't be nidarin. And the cheresh over there is a cheresh bidei shemayim. Someone was born a cheresh, and therefore he has value, so it is nidarin. So maishna, I understand. Why is a cheresh? Cheresh can't do anything, presumably. So then what difference make if it's nidarin, if it's bidei shemayim and bidei Adam? And the truth is really adarabba, right? A cheresh and a cheresh Bidei Adam. So, right? So he can't hear anymore. He'll still be able to talk, still be able to write, still be able to see, right? He could do a lot of things. He just can't hear. You can communicate with him. Chesh Bidei Shanayim, at least until the last couple centuries, was, what's her name? Helen Keller? Right? Was basically, extraordinarily debilitated because they couldn't communicate for the most part. So if anything, I would have said, faker, right? The cheresh bidei shemayim should be worth zero, and the cheresh bidei adam should be worth something. But the Rabbi Natan, to answer the question, says faker. So I'll be drush, I thought, two answers, but I'll tell you the real answer in a second. So maybe it's like the chiluk. Where do we have this chiluk of Bidei Adam De Shemayim? We had it in the previous page on Tosfos, right? By Ripui. Over there, what was the pshat? Pshat is that if it's Bidei Shemayim, so Tosfos said it came from Hashem, right? But if it's Bidei Adam, it came from a person. It's Bidei Shemayim. So al karachecha, when a person experiences something Bidei Shemayim, they say, okay, this is from Hashem. This is Hashem's will. I must have some tafkid. And you figure out your tafkid, so he's going to have value. But Chayavish Bidei Adam, he's going to say, I don't have any value. Why did it happen? Because this guy was a jerk. So he was mischarish me. And so he's not going to have the value. Right? It wasn't supposed to happen. Or you could say a different way. Someday I was speaking to somebody recently. This guy used to have a very, very good job. Good job, he had a partner at a law firm and the like, and then he got fired. And now his mom is depressed, unemployed for several years, and like really, you know, going out of his mind because it doesn't work. So I asked him, not in these terms, but I sort of told him, like, you know, you're a smart guy and you get lots of jobs. It's true, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to become a partner, senior partner, and you're not going to replace your old job. But you can get plenty of decent jobs. So his answer was like, I can't do it. Right? And that's why he's so depressed. Because he's not going to... The point is, Cheresh Bidei Shemayim is born that way. So he's going to say, what can I do? He's going to do it. Cheresh Bidei Adam is going to get so depressed because he knows what he used to be able to do and he knows that he can't do it now. He's not going to do anything. So he's going to sit there. He's zero value. He's going to just be depressed and unemployed. So I'm going to make it. That's Alpid Rush. But the pshat l'chayim and taisis is like this. You have to say that we're talking about over here, when we're talking about a cheresh bidei adam, we're mamish talking about a vegetable, right? This guy had traumatic range injury to the point that he lost his hearing, right? So how many times do you have to get clucked, right? Not just one ear. It's not just like, right? He lost his auditory ability. So to be clapped on the head so many times that you lose your hearing, it's not just your hearing that you're going to lose. Like, oh, he's going to be perfect in every other, you know, brain function, but FSC lost his hearing. No. If somebody gets clapped on that so many times he's lost his hearing, the minastam, he's basically going to be a vegetable. He's going to be worthless. Whereas chayrish bidei shamayim, somebody's born nebuchti. Everything is perfect except his hearing. So there are going to be things he could do. So memela, it's going to be nida. He's going to have value. But this guy that's chayrish bidei shamayim is so... Is mamish hacha b'mayaskina. In theory, yes. I mean, chayrish bidei adam. In theory, if you're chayrish bidei adam, but all you did was lose your hearing. No other person. This guy, you know, the mazik, like, did surgery on your ears, and he got rid of your hearing ability, but everything else was perfect. The value, you'd have value. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a guy who got clapped on the head so hard that he lost his hearing. And the stomach, he's going to lose all other functions. And you see that a little bit maybe from the Piskei Arid on this Gemara. In other words, it says over there that we find that a Chayrish has a little bit of Das, more than a Shopta, because they're misaking Kiddushin to Rabbanan for such a person. His Das is more like the level of a Kata. So, as opposed to the Chayrish, that's Chayrish B'dei Shemayim, as opposed to Chayrish B'dei Adam. In other words, he's saying basically, Hach Mayaskinan, that we're talking about a vegetable here. We're talking about someone that is zero Das, not like a Kata. Not like a chayish. So that's Tosis's first answer. It's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, when his chiluk is bidei adam bidei shemayim, it's basically saying hacha b'mayaskinan, that we're talking about a vegetable, and that's what, as opposed to the gemara there by Yerachem. Fine. The Ri gives a different answer. L'rinira de hacha b'adam she'ein ein bar umnus. K'depricious liel l'chein mash ma'amid enak adali da'avla v'azil b'shlichos holkach. In other words, Dali, who's going to do that? An unskilled laborer. I mean, what's the reason, sir? That an unskilled charesh is worth zero. A skilled charesh, skilled laborer, who happens to be a charesh, has value. Right? He could still be an ogei margolios. Now, again, it's still shver on the Ri, because so it's true. I understand that if he's on there's a disability that a charesh has with respect to unskilled labor. But are you going to say that he's absolutely zero? He can't do anything, right? Just because he's and again, he's not saying like Rabbeinu Tam. That there it's talking about a bar das, quasi bar das, and here is the law of bar das klal, right? So we're talking about the same level of cognitive ability. And still, we're saying if he's unskilled, he's worth zero. If he's skilled, he has value. So again, if all he is, he has high cognitive ability, he just happens to be deaf. So... why is he worth zero? So the answer is that the Ri holds that the market discriminates against people with disabilities. Avadin, someone who's deaf, even if he's unskilled, you could find things for him to do, and you could hire him, and it will be profitable. But nobody's going to do it. Nobody's going to buy an Eved that doesn't hear. Not because the Eved can't do anything, but because the market discriminates against such a person. It's discrimination against disabilities. And since that's the reality, it's a very sad, tragic, and bad reality, but it is a reality, so since nobody's going to buy him, the Nezek turns out to be Dmei Kula. And the Ravid basically says that shot. The Ravid says, Adam Katzba. Right? What does Adam Katzba mean? Avada, he could do things, but people discriminate against him, right? In other words, that's the yisod of this gemara. So since lemaisa, because adam katzba, because people are going to discriminate, so they're not going to buy him, so his nezek is going to end up effectively being his entire value. And memela, there's no shabbos. We're not saying, Tosus is not saying that he can't do anything. Avada, he could do lots of things. But he's going to be discriminated against, and therefore he's not going to be able to get a job. He's not going to be sold as an Eved. Okay. Weiter. So, the Gemara says... Vairava kata es yado, v'loam dum. Shiver es raglo, v'loam dum. Sima es eno, v'loam duhu. Ulvasov chirshu mahu. Right? This is sort of like what I was saying before in my baby tongue, that like chirshu comes after, like, you know, at the end of a really, really bad fight. After you lose your arms, your legs, and your vision. Yeah.
But when Tosus himself said it's not true in the previous Gemara?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. I'm just saying that it shows. Not that the Gemara there is Dafka talking about that, as Tosus shows. Yeah. So, what's the halacha? Mia minan kevin de loam duhu b'chad umdina sagi lei. The yoiv lei de meku lei. So, you're going to pay him to make hulei at the end, because chirshu. So, chad umdina sagi lei. You don't have to do, or not. Or do we say no? We're going to do umdina for each. Odilma, chad achad amdina. Yavina lei. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina de baile mesav leit saru vaushas, de cholchad vechada. Nehi de nezek verikoi veshavas, de cholchad vechada, lo yavinan lei. So explains Rashi. There's no nafkamina for nezek, ripoi, and shavas. Why? Ripoi, anyway, you're going to have to pay for it, you know, you're going to have to heal him. And nezek and shavas are going to be the same thing. Okay, we'll read Rashi. It's a good point. Maybe I'm oversimplifying. So we'll read Rashi in a second. Let's just finish the Gemara. Dekev and dekayvav le demekule keman dekat le dami. So you have to figure out why you need that line. It's very interesting. That's not really what's important here. It's kev and dekayvav le demekule. And we'll see that again in Rashi. V'ha yoyiv le demekule. Tarvoshes mi'ad kochad v'chada yoyiv le. D'ha have le tsar uboshes. Right? Each time when he clapped him, the first time and he knocked off his arm, so there was tsar and boshes. And then when he clapped him the next time and knocked off his legs, more tsar and boshes. And that's where the shayla. And then, Vimtim Tzolomar Kevin Dalam Duhu Kayayv Leidme Kule, Vadi Adani, we're going to pay him at the end for everything. Amduhu Mahu Miyaminan Kevin Dalam Duhu Chada Chada Baila Mesav Lei O Dilma Kevin Dalam Shalim Yayv Leidme Kule Teku. So, what's going on here? So Tosfos, in his Havamina, read the Gemara, probably the simplest wording, reading of the words, that what's the tzad? That you are pater. That since, like the Gemara says, since you're paying him to make kulo at the end, so you don't have to pay him anything else, right? You don't have to pay him for tzar, for boshes. Tosfos says that's like inconceivable. How could that be? Right? Why in the world, just because you're paying him at the end, to make kulo, the nezek of his entire value for the when you were mischareshim, why in the world would that pater you from the earlier things? Right? That caused him tsar. Caused him a lot of tsar when I broke his arm. And then a lot more tsar when I broke his leg. And then a lot more tsar when I broke his eyes. And boshes. So at the end, I'm going to pay for his entire nezek. But we know nezek does not cover these other things. Right? Nezek only relates to devaluation. So fine, in terms of nezek, that's all included in the final thing. But not tsar. So what in the world is the tzad to pater you from tzar? So Tosfos answers, no. that Avada, even in the Havamina, both Stadim, I'm going to be Chayav. So those actually, there's two things. Right? Number one is he moves Ripoy together with the other category. In other words, as opposed to our Girsa, which has Ripoy together with Nezek and Sheves, Tosos moves Ripoy to the other category. And he keeps that even in the Maskana, right? When he says you do pay for the other things. Which, by the way, shows you, we mentioned this before when we talked about that Machlokas, the Chakira, whether you're Chayv Ripoy or Dimei Ripoy. You see from this Tosos that he holds it's Dimei Ripoy. Did everyone see the Tosos? Yeah? Okay. So you see from this Tosos you're Chayv Dimei Ripoy. Right? But the answer is that Avada you'll be Chayev for all the things before. Let's read the answer together. V'nir l'ri, t'pshitin m'shad t'ar boshes, v'ripoy, t'kol chad b'chadah. U'mibayilei k'goyin shakita yado sof yado yom rishon. V'lom du, v'yom she'ini shivirad do lo, v'lom du, v'yom shlishi charshu. Mi aminan d'chashiv kilu asa kol b'famachas. All the different things. Odilma, Kevin Shechaval, Sayyib Zachar Zer. Omdim Chol Achas. Ripoy Vitzar, Vosha Shalah. Bifnei Atzma. So Avada, we're going to pay him Sarah. And Avada, we're going to pay him Voshas. It's not like the Havamina. Havamina was that since I'm paying Nezek, all Kulo, he's Potter from all payments of Tsar and Boshas there. That's inconceivable. The question is, do we put them together or do we just do it all at once? Why would you do it all at once? So the Rush tells you, says like Tosas, but he spells it out a little better. The Rush says the Svara is, it's Kilu Nasu B'mocham Osachas. Right, I'll read you the Lashon of the Rush. Elohim Yibayilei, Im yasumu b'fa machas tzar ripoy voshas shal kol machas makos, o yasumu shal kol mako mako levad. Mi aminan kevin delo amdu hu b'entayim chazinan ki ilu nasu b'melchama achas ve'amdinan kulo b'yachad. Oh, lo. So even though, you know, he punched his arm on Monday, and he punched his legs on Tuesday, and he punched his eyes on Wednesday, and on Thursday, finally, he clapped him until he was mischarishim. But what is that? Do we see it as basically, you know, one big fight? Let's say people got into a fight. It's like a nonstop fight, boxing match. So we're not going to probably go ahead and, like, try to isolate the tsar. We're going to look at it together. So here, too. Since Lo Amdu Hu B'Entayim, they didn't go to Beis Din in between. It's just one big fight. It's just like, you know, fights, wars. It's not like every second there's constant shooting. A couple hours here break, a couple hours there break, but it's one milchama. So the way we assess it is in one together. Or not, because the Vaisa, there were gaps. There were distinct units. And Tosis explains, what's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina she'en kol kach ola kol kach she'omdin hakol biyachad kemo she'ola she'omdin kol achas b'fnei atzma. When it comes to gather with the tsar, so if we were to do it all together, so the tsar would be a little less, right? How much money would you pay to get your arm punched on Monday, your leg punched on Tuesday, and your eyes punched on Wednesday? That would be $1 million. How much money would you take to get your arms, your legs, and your eyes punched, you know, all one right after the other? Well, I would take $800,000, right? Because it's that's the nature of things. So if we isolate them, it comes out to be a little more, and that's the Gemara Shaila. But the guy's not really, you know, getting ripped off of anything he's entitled. What about Nezek and Sheves? For there's no difference. Why? Because Nezek, in the end of the day, you know, your arm's worth, if a person's, you know, valued on the slave market is $1 million, his arm's worth $200,000, and his leg's worth $300,000, and his eyes are worth another $200,000, and then the rest of him, the charishus, is whatever's left, another $200,000. Right? It doesn't really matter in terms of that point, what the order is and how it took place and whether you do it once or whether you do it separately. What about Shevis? This is an interesting point that the Rush brings up. And again, interesting question whether others agree or disagree. Does Rashi agree or disagree? But the way the Rush says it is, of course, technically speaking, if there is going to be, like, you know, he missed work from Monday to Tuesday because his lost arm, he wasn't able to do a certain work. And then from Tuesday to Wednesday, because it was... So, of course, if there is a differential, we'll have to include that. Like that. And if there's not, there's not. But that's why it's not a shayla. It's not a shayla. The only place where the Gemara has a kasha is, again, tsar and ripoy and shevis. Ripoy because Tosfos holds it to may ripoy. And tsar and boshes for the reason we explained. That's Tosfos. Okay. Pretty straightforward. So, the Iker, the difficult Rishon over here, where the sugya really gets very exciting, is Shita Saramba. Let's take a look at the Rambam over here. It's Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel.
The Rashi Shita.
We'll get back to Rashi. To the Rambam first. I think we should do Rashi first. You're right, but. Appreciate some of the nuances in Rashi will come out from the Shita of the Rambam, which is.
I was saying the Rashi
too. Also, maybe that. That's what. We'll get back to that. The Pashtas is they're the same, except for the Shevis point, and maybe even there they're the same. Now, did you think they were different?
I thought they were the same.
Okay, but, yeah. I think so. They said Rashi. Yeah. Rashi's interesting. Not so clear, though. So let's look at the Rambam. Rambam, again, Perek Beis, Choy V'Lamazek, Halacha Yud Gimel. Sima is Eino, V'lo Amdu, V'Kiteas Yado, V'lo Amdu, V'Kiteas Raglo, V'lo Amdu, V'Achar Kacharsha. How will V'lo Amdu, V'chol Nezek, V'Nas Nezek, the no sin law to make them. So no mention of tsar, no mention of boshes, or ripoy, right? All that's mentioned, and note, by the way, it's actually interesting that this is in the sugya of Shevis, Halachi Yud Aleph. Right. Salachidal is Kates and Mashayan or so, and this is included in that. Then we have Kates Mashayan or Shevis, and Salachidal is Kates Mashayan or Ripoy. Okay, so all that's mentioned is Nezek. No sin lo de mekula. And this is the first way of the Gemara. Amduhu l'chol Nezek v'Nezek. V'char kach amduhu l'kula. So that's the second way of the Gemara. And govin mimenu. Ella de me kulo bilvat. So what's the psak? De me kulo. Why did he say that? Because it's an imtim tzolomar. Rambam's mahalach an imtim tzolomar is always that we go to the penultimate one. So, and here there's only two. But the point is that imtim tzolomar, so the first one we're going to say pater, because in the second imtim tzolomar, we say imtim tzolomar that your pater flo amduhu. What about if I'm duhu? So the first baya is pater. The second one is a safek. So what's the halacha by safek? Hamoti mechaber l'raya. So you're also going to be demei kulo. However, since it's a safek, since it's a teku, vim tafas hanizak nezek kol ever ve'ever v'demei kulo. So then ein motzin biyado, because it's a teku. The Rambam shita. This is a machlokas we've shown him. The Rambam Shita is that by tekus, even though where then the base won't be mochi mamon, but tfis is mahani, because of the suffix. Now, agav, the Rush does a very interesting thing over here. The Rush is machriya the teku misafik, right? It boggles the mind. The Rush says, umistabra dekeman de gavoy dami lefi, in other words, the opposite psak of the Rambam, they're going to pay for each one. Again, lefi his havana, the Rambam did not havana. Lefi mai depreciates the ein afkusa ella lefi iwi shuma pratis lakwalis. Lama yasa shuma acher, since you did anyway shuma for the first one and the second one, what are you going to do with other shuma shekvar nischayev b'shuma rishona? He's chayev already. Like Rashi said, zil shlim. So the Tiferes is Shmuel on this Rashi at the bottom of the page. What is he talking about? It's according to Mashal, Yafa Tama Lav Rasha, Denosa, the Masik, the Teku, the Tama Ha'ech, Yifshot, Rabbeinu, Misvaraso. Right? Who ever heard of this idea? That you're going to be poshit the Tekus of the Gemara. Kapul Charufta also quotes this, but he notes, actually, the Rush isn't the only one to do that. Rav Avadi Mibartanura also does this. In Zvachim, he's Machriya Lahalacha Neteku. So what's going on here? Very interesting point, which is, what does teku mean? So the way that the Mashal and the Rambam over here is assuming is teku is the Gemara is paskening this is a suffix. What's the conclusion of the Gemara? This is an unresolvable dilemma. Right? That's the psak. That's the conclusion. So you could go ahead and come up with a svara one way or the other. And if you say your svara one way or the other, you're paskening against the Gemara. Because what was the Gemara's conclusion? Teku. The Gemara's conclusion was, this is unresolvable. Tishbi, Yav, Yatarix. Okay? Whether you think Teku stands for that or not is irrelevant. But that's what it means. It means, you know, we're not getting an answer to this question until Eliyahu. So if you go ahead and are machriya the question, you're essentially arguing with the Gemara. And we don't argue with Gemaras. So that's why the Marshal is mitame. So what did the Rush think? It's Kain, you know, the difference that the Rishonim point out, Rashi says, between when the Gemara says Akasha and Etiyota. At Akasha, we could still bring an answer. Etiyota, a Pircha, there's no answer. Right? Even though sometimes Taka might be exceptions to that also. But fundamentally, that's the point. The Rush understood Teku as like as Kain Kasha, right? The Gemara, the Bale Gemara said, I don't know. You want to bring a Raya, bring a Raya, Givaldic. But I don't know. But you're not arguing with the Gemara if you try to be Machriya Misafik. It's like the Achronim discussed the question of whether a Teku is considered a Safik Chisan Chachma or not. Because I don't know the answer. So some of the Achronim are Machalik between a Baidu of Shita and a Teku. Right? They take the approach of the Marshal. Teku is unresolvable. A Baidu of Shita, so then that's a Safik Chisan Chachma. If you knew a little more, you could have an answer. Right? Rashi is saying even a Teku is like a Safik Chisan. The Gemara didn't know the answer. I have a Raya. The Gemara wasn't saying you can't know an answer. The Gemara is saying Teku, I don't know. So anyway, but that's just a parenthetical point.
How would the Russian really answer that Amorai? Maybe that's crazy to say that.
No. And Achanami, when we go ahead and we say you can't argue with the Gemara, it's not because we think the Bale Gemara were smarter than us and more proficient and knew more Gemara and the like. That's not the reason. I mean, it's true, but that's not the reason. It's not like if somebody was super duper smart, they could argue with the Gemara. And the only reason that they don't argue with the Gemara is because the Bali and Gemara were smarter than them. But if they were super duper smart, they could argue with the Gemara. That's not the pshat. The pshat, there are different ways of saying it, but the easiest way to say it is like the Rambam explains in Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, that it's because we were Mekabel, the Talmud Bavli, and anything that Klal Yisrael accepts has the status of a Sanhedrin, ruling of the Sanhedrin of Gadol, Yerushalayim, and you can't argue with it. Doesn't matter how smart you are. And if you do, then that's Lo Sasser. And it's simply that we don't have the authority. And that's part of the Rambam general shita, that even the authority of the Sanhedrin comes that's and from the people. That's why you can read Nusmicha, as Rav Ochanan says. Rav is a shtickle on this. It's beautiful. But that's a Rambam shita. In other words, we were mekabel it, and therefore you can't argue. It has the status of a ruling of the Sanhedrin of Adol, and that's it. It's the bottom line. So if you have a chves, you have a Mishnah, a Gemara, a Psak, and the Gemara says one way. So, okay, you know. The Amoraim said this way, and I say that way. No, you can't do it. Because it was accepted. If the Gemara wasn't clear, then you could bring Rayas, you could do Machriya, maybe we pass in this way, maybe we pass in that way. Maybe the Gemara means this, maybe the Gemara means that. But if the Gemara is clear, you can't say, yeah, the Gemara means this, but I'm arguing for the Gemara. But it's not because they were smarter than us, and they knew more than us, it's because we lack that authority. So now, if you think that tekel is a psak, the conclusion of the Gemara is tekel. That's the maskara. So then you can't argue with it. If you argue with the tekel, then you're bringing it up. If you think the Gemara, the Balei Gemara, whoever said the tekel, I don't know, Adina and Ravashi, whoever it was, said, it's hard to be machriya, is it tzadlakan or tzadlakan? And then you think, okay, I think the first tzad makes a little more sense. Mistabek, it's a little more mistabek. So then, that's okay. It's a suffix in the Gemara. It's like, it's even like, you know, sometimes you'll find Rishonim being machriya, you know, in a machlokas based off of this opinion makes more sense. That is when they're passing. Usually the psak is based off of the rules. Okay, it's not always clear what the rules will indicate, but the psak is based off of the rules. But sometimes they're even machriya misara. Right? That's okay. That's what the Rosh is doing. Now, okay, but now we have to go back to the side point. We'll go back to the Ikar Nido in the Rambam. So what does the Rambam mean? Again, the Rambam only seems to be discussing Nezek. He doesn't seem to be discussing anything else. So there are a number of Havanos. Well, let's say focus on four Havanos in the Rambam. So the first possibility that the Magid Mishnah considers is that maybe the Rambam actually did really hold of Tosfos, right? Again, sort of the first glance, the Rambam sounds like the Havamim of Tosfos, because he only talks about Nezek, and it sounds like when you pay the Nezek at the end for the Cheresh, which is the Mekul, you don't have to pay anything else, right? Let's say in the first Shiloh, the Gemara, or the second Shiloh, or the Tzadipat, right? All he mentions is Nezek, right? So once you pay the Mekul, right? Ein gov lo el Mekul bilvad. Right? So you pay Nezek, and then it's garnished, there's nothing else, there's no, which is exactly, you know, the Havamin of Tosfos. That's what it sounds like. But, as Tosfos has pointed out very cogently, it makes zero sense. So, yeah, maybe the Rambam means the Maskan of Tosfos. What do you mean? So why didn't the Rambam say any of that? So I probably, the pshat is, that the Rambam was kol hamisha dvarim, right? Ein lo demele el kulo bilvad doesn't just mean nezek, it means the deme kulo of charshu, however much you would pay if charshu, right? If you did this all at once. And we don't evaluate each one on its own. But it doesn't mean to preclude tzar and boshes and the like. Deme kulo means kol chamisha dvarim. That's a difficult read, right? Deme kulo, let's say in Halacha Yud Beis, is just talking about Nezek, right? Hikas chaveir al ozno. Oh. Achzo v'taka v'ozno v'charsho. Nosin lo demei kula. Shevelo enum roi l'malacha klal. Pashtus, that means nezer. It's difficult. It's difficult. The Magen knows it's difficult. But that's one possibility. But the second possibility is no. You know, we're going to take to me kulo in a more simple sense of the word. It means just nezer. Tosus taka holds like the havamina. The Rambam taka holds like the havamina of Taisnus. But since you're going to pay to make kulo, so you don't have to pay anything else. So now the question is, why would that be? That doesn't make any sense. Just because I was a harsha at the end, so I'm going to be potter for everything I did until now. So the truth is, if you held that nezek was in the gather of tashlumin, then I could even have such a havamina. Taisus doesn't like it. But maybe I could have said that by being to make kulo, you're kanalo vareu ka'avdo, and memele you're eno chayv l'shalim lo, because shekvar kanahu so, like Rashi said on a couple of occasions. Right, in terms of the havamina, that you would, if you pay nezek, you're pater from al arvadvar, and then maybe that's if you're only paying, the Gemara rejects that, that's only when nezek is partial payment, but when your mamish konilo, so he's yours, so you don't have to pay for anything else. But again, it's not going to work for the Rambam, because the Rambam thinks nezek is what? It's omesh. Aitachasayin, kielu, so that doesn't make any sense. It's not like you. So maybe you'll say also that Charsho's Kilu Harva, playing up that Lashon in the Gemara. And, you know, Kamanda Katle Dame. Sounds that way a little bit from the Ravid. So maybe there's no. Since you killed him, maybe you don't pay for past damages. Right? Just like for Ripoy, you know, that's almost certainly going to be the case. Okay, we said maybe Tosos wouldn't say that, but the Pashup shot is for Ripoy, right? Even though I hit the guy, and I have to pay for Rifu, and I hit him again, and I hit him again, and I hit him again, and then in the end, he killed him. So I'm not going to have to pay for Ripoy, because he's dead. So, okay. So maybe you'll see. But that's not true. It's my first later on in the Gemara, and pay Vav Medala, that Charsha Yerchai Chamishin Varn. So we don't say, it's kilu hargo kulo, and therefore you don't have to pay anything else. You're chayv chamisha dvar. The rabbit has to mean something else. It means you don't have to pay for the old ripoy. So again, what's pshat in the Rambam? So from the lashon of the Rambam, it sounds like a very different thing. The Rambam writes, right, from tafas hanizak, nezek kol eiver ve'eiver, vidmei kulo, Ein motzi miyado. So we have to actually look at what the Rambam says. It's clear from the Rambam that he had a different Havana in the Gemara than anything we've considered until now. Which is, are you mishalim only to make kulo, or kol eiver ve'eiver? The Gemara's question was only about nezek. It was not considering tzar, or boshes, or ripoy, or a sheves. It was only a shaila about nezek. And the shaila is, how do you evaluate the nezek? Do you look at each aver? Or do you go ahead and look at the whole thing? And hachu b'mayaskinan, where they're not the same, right? Limasha, like the Rush himself says, right? A lot of times things, when sold individually, the sum is greater, it's less than the parts, right? Something sells for, you know, the price is 50 cents, two for a dollar, three for a dollar. Right? Like you see all the time in the store. 50 cents, three for a dollar. So I damage one, I'm chai at 50 cents. I damage one, two, three, stam I'm chai the dollar, right? So here, that's what we're talking about. One, he damages an aver, it's worth $100, his arms, then his legs, then his eyes. If you were to look at each one individually, what would the nezek on the arms be? Like we said, 200,000. On the legs, 300,000. On the eyes, 400,000. On the ears, 300,000. So do you pay him, but Dmei Kula was $1 million. So which one? Do you pay him $1 million or $1.2 million? That's the Shaila of the Gemara, right? Like he says, do you pay Dmei Aver, call Aver of Aver Levad, or do you pay the whole thing? Good. So that's a great shot. Now, we have two questions left. Number one, it's a great shot. Sounds like that's what the Rambam is saying, but it's against the Gersa of the Gemara. Right? Because Gemara told us, since the Shaila for the Shabbos and the Vaishas, or throwing Tysus' Gersa to the Reapoy. Not Nezek. So the answer to that actually comes from the Raivid. Amar Avram, Baal Halacha is Piresh, Dmei Kol Ever Ve'Ever Tsar Uboshas Kol Achad Bechad. Baal Halachos explained that what does it mean in the Gemara Dmei Ever Ve'Ever meant Tsar Uboshas. So we read the Raivid. I mean Baal Halachos. That's what the Gemara said, right? The Gemara. That was in the Gemara. The Gemara said the Nafkamina is Tsar Uboshas. What does it mean? The Ravid saying, oh, you know, the Baal Lachos didn't say it's an afkamina for the Nezek. The Baal Lachos said it's an afkamina for the Shabbos. It's not the Baal Lachos. Who was it? The Gemara. So what do you see from the Ravid? See from the Ravid, this is another two in a row. We're going to answer all the questions by just throwing out the Girsa. The Baal Lachos, this half the Gemara is from the Baal Lachos. It's not in the text of the Gemara. It's the Baal Lachos Piresh. Got stuck into our Gemara, according to the Girsa of Rashi and Tosfos. This is what the Gemara means. This is how you read it. Right? Ba'ai Rava Katas Yado Velamdu Shivers Vaglo Velamdu Sima Sena Velamdu Mau Miyaminan Kevin Delamdu Bechadam Dinasagi Le Vioiv Le Dme Kule Badi Adade Odoma Chada Vechada Amdinan Viavinan Le Vintim Salomar Kevan Delo Amdu Kayat. Right? That's it. All this. Four lines of Gemara, from Nafgamina to Boshas, is, what is it? It's not in the Gemara, it's Pirush Baha. Pirush Baha. So that's what Rav says. The Bahagta said the Nafgamina is out, it's our Boshas. What the Ramban think, the Nafgamina is out? Nezek. Right? That's Nafgamina. What about Tzar Boshas? And Tosfos Kashas could even be the Ramban Wataka say, Tosfos is right, Vada, you pay Tzar and Boshas. For each one, right? That's not the Gemara Shaila. It's all from the Bahag. Now. But there's a different question, which is, remember, the other Rishonim that we've seen so far all said it doesn't make sense that there's a Nafkamina for Nezek, right? Because what is Nezek? It's just like the pieces, right? Your devaluation. Oh. So the answer is Mamish Pashit. Mamish beautiful. Goes back to our favorite Chakira, right? Which is, if you see Nezek as a compensation for devaluation, then there's no way that the compensation could exceed the value of the product, right? Limashal. I go ahead and I start tearing apart your car. I take a bet. First, I hit the muffler, okay? To fix that's $500. Then I hit the bumper, $600. Then I hit the steering wheel, $800. Then I... Your car is worth $5,000. So once I get past $5,000, I'm just going to pay you $5,000, right? Doesn't make sense that I could cause $6,000 of damage to a $5,000 car. So if you look at Nezek like that, it's Pasha. I, in reality, comes out to be more. That's just a quirk in the valuation system, right? But how did the Rambam understand? This is Dmei Onesh. Oh. So it's not a problem, fundamentally, that it could come out to be worth more than the value, because we're not talking about it. So if it comes out, Taka, that your Dmei Kula is a million, and it's conceivable that I could pay you $1 million too. If the Yesod was compensation for damages, it doesn't make any sense. It might happen, so it's a quirk in the marketplace, and we're not going to go ahead and allow that to determine the payments that are made, because it's a flaw, it's an error. Even if it turns out that hands plus legs plus feet plus eyes don't equal whole. But for the Rambam, it's not a quirk, since it's onshin. So the onesh for doing the arms, the Torah said is Dmei arms. The onesh for legs, Dmei legs. Comes out to be more than the value, nunu, and that's the kasha. So we're out of time. So that's the third pshat. There's a fourth pshat, which is mind-blowing. But we'll do it tomorrow. It's the Rav's pshat in this Rambam. The Rav's pshat. Oh my goodness.
Where's the
Rav's pshat? In the Rishimus.